Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good to see each and every one of you out this morning. Just as we go and praise God and give Him all that is due Him, we can never do enough. That's what's due Him. He deserves so much more. But you know, I'm glad that He gives us the opportunity and the patience that He has with us to do His will and to do the best that we can, so that one day we can be able to live with Him in spirit and in truth and don't have to worry about nothing else no more. Our lesson text, which is taken out of Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10, but I want to go ahead and back up and read, starting at verse number 1, and we'll work our way down all the way to verse 10. And I really want to zero in this morning at verses about 8 and 9, and of course number 10. So if you'll turn your Bibles there, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, we'll start at verse number 1, and it says, And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, there's that but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now don't miss the last couple of verses, verses 8 through 10. It says, verse 8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not our works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship."
Yes, sir.
We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Title of my lesson, I want to entitle it, A Work of Art. And just a little, did a little research on Masterpiece and created and in, a little to the source fund. Masterpiece, some of that popped up is a work of art, masterwork, work of genius, stunning success. And then I looked up created, and created said shaped, fashioned, formed. I wonder why he used these words in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And then I looked up in, it says inside, within, into, participating in, clothed in. Church, each of us is, you know, is a work in progress. Amen. We have to always realize that. Amen. We are clay in the potter's hands. Amen. We are the canvas the artist paints on. Amen. We are the gold and the silver being refined by fire. Wow. We are all those things, and we have to realize still that none of us are finished yet. But already we are work of art. And with us, God is creating a masterpiece, church. Mm. He's created a masterpiece. And everything in our lives is used by God to mold and to shape us. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And I'll start at verse number 20 and work my way down to verse number 39. Because there's such good stuff. Right. Such good meat in Romans chapter 8 that you can't pass it up sometimes. Romans chapter 8, verse number 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did not foreknow, He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, brethren, whom He did predestinate, them all He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Yeah. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is the Christ that died, ye rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? God, he's there for us.
Amen. Yeah.
He's there for us, and the only person that can separate us from God is us.
Amen.
And what we allow him to. Continuing on verse number 36, it says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But nay, in all these things, there it goes again, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So we're conquerors, church, if we make up in our mind and decide that we're going to be conquerors.
Amen. Yeah.
Verse number 38 says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus,
Amen.
Our Lord.
Amen.
When we come to be saved in faith in Jesus Christ, church, we are reborn and recreated. We are transformed. As scripture says, anyone who is in Christ, he is what?
A new creature.
Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17. Church, he recreated us, and he continues to shape us into what he needs to be, into what he wants us to be. He planned not long ago, before creation, he decided that this day was going to come where you were going to be born, and he was going to mold you and shape you, and you were going to have the opportunity to become a Christian, and you became a Christian. And even after that, he's still molding and he's still shaping us.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you what? Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness, meekness, with longsuffering. You know, a lot of times we just read verse number 1.
Mm-hmm.
Because we skip verse number 2, 3, and 4. Because, you know, it takes a special person, which is all of us, because God has chosen us to walk worthy that he called us from with all lowliness. You know how hard that is? To put yourself, to put someone else above you with all lowliness, with all meekness, with all long-suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Long-suffering.
Yeah.
Come on.
Forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. God does more. God does more than save you, church. He remakes you. He calls you to a purpose in this world. Your life is not an accident. I don't know who would ever tell somebody that, but if you've ever been told that, always know that your life is not an accident. To say to you that your life is an accident, they're saying that God made a mistake. And church, God does not make mistakes. He never has, he never will. For you were made with a purpose, and there is work that God will do through you if you allow him to. Yet there is an enemy, church. There's always an enemy. If you always look at any kind of movie, there's always an enemy.
Amen.
But look who always wins at the end.
Mm.
There's always an enemy who would want to steal, and he will if you allow him. He'll steal your dreams and the purpose for which God has made you if you allow him.
Right.
As scripture says, the thief has come to steal and to kill and to destroy. John chapter 10, verse number 10, it says, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I come that ye might have life, and that ye might have it more abundantly. And he will, if you let him, though, church. And he will fill your ears with lies, for he is the liar, and he is the father of all lies. John chapter 8, verse number 44, it says,
Amen.
Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and not in the truth, because there is not no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it all. The enemy will convince you that your life doesn't matter, that you can't make a difference, and that God would never want to use you anyway with how you messed up. But Jesus has said, I come in order that you might have life more abundantly. You were not created to merely exist, church. None of us were. God has a wonderful plan and a purpose for your life, regardless of your age, regardless of your health. God has a wonderful plan, church, and the purpose of your life is full of meaning and adventure, and to his glory if only you would trust him, only if you would be brave enough to follow him and to go through trials and tribulations.
That's right.
This does not mean that it will be easy, for no adventure ever worth having is easy. If it were easy, where would the glory be?
That's right.
But there is glory behind your imagining, beyond your imagining, if you continue on this adventure for Christ Jesus. As Paul has said, I consider that our present suffering is not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. All creation wait in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 19, it says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed unto us." Mm-hmm. So it's going to be revealed, church, but we have to continue to lead road. We have to continue to walk that road of righteousness. "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." And church, that's the reassurance, and that's the proof that God will never leave you, and that he is watching you, and he is really waiting for us to continue to obey him, to continue to follow him, and continuing to stay focused, and to continue to stay on that road of righteousness. But only you have to make up in your mind that you're willing to do that.
Amen.
There's much darkness in this world, church, but we all know that. But the dawn is coming. Romans chapter 13, verses 12. "And those who have lived for Christ will shine like the sun and the light and like the sun." I'm always reminded of a "Let your light so shine,"
amen,
"so that men may see their good works and glorify you which are in heaven." In Bible class, child Bible class, we always used to say, "This little light of mine," you know? And, you know, it didn't really dawn on me, so, you know, until you get older, that all those songs all have meaning.
Amen.
Romans chapter 13, verse number 12, it says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." So when are we going to put away the works of darkness, church? When are we going to put on the armor of light? We did that when we went into the watery grave of baptism, but to continue to stay on the road of righteousness and continue to put on that armor of light is a daily, daily battle. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 43, it says, "Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let them hear." Therefore, church, don't be weary and don't give up, for your reward is coming. Galatians chapter 6, if you'll turn there. Verse number 9, but I want to back it up to verse number 1. It says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whosoever a man soweth, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not."
Amen.
So don't be weary, church. Don't give up, because your reward is coming. And soon the one coming is coming, which is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He will come not only for you, but also he will come for me. And he will not delay. He'll never delay. He's always on time. You might not think he's on time. Whenever we go through trials and tribulations, we always want things done right now.
Amen.
But see, we always have to remember, and it's a hard thing. I'm not going to lie. We always want it done right now.
Amen.
But God said, "Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Neither are our ways his ways."
Mm.
So don't worry, church, because he's coming. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 37 through 39, as I close. "For ye a little while," "for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now that just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him."
Mm.
"But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." And real quickly, I just want to do verses 37 to 39 from the Message. Got some very good stuff, and it's a lot. It's plain and to the point. It says, "It won't be long now. He's on the way. He'll show up most at any time. But anyone who is right with me thrives on loyal trust. If he cuts and runs, I won't be very happy. But we're not quitters who lose out. Oh, no, we'll stay with it and survive, trusting all the way.
Amen.
So do you feel that there is a purpose, church?
Amen.
There's a purpose in your life.
Yeah.
And if you don't, and I know you do, there is purpose. What are we living for? Have you let the enemy rob your life of meaning? So that instead of really living, you're just mere simply existing? That's not it. This is not what God wants for you, church. God, as God's children, we ought to do more than survive. We are to thrive for him. No matter the circumstances, no matter the trials and tribulations that may come. It might be a little hard, but you know, God did the ultimate sacrifice where he sent down his son from the riches of heaven to die on the cross. So surely, whatever may come our way, we can go through it. And we will go through it. That's anymore, I'm confident that we will go through it. Because this is we only get one shot in this life. Not to live, not to get all we can, but to make it to heaven, really.
Amen.
You know, and I'm learning that. So are you ready to live? Are you ready to live life for God as you are called by your daily surrenderance and obedience to him? Only by obeying God can you truly be free, church, to live the kind of life you long for. And the only thing, only then will you be the masterpiece God intends you to be, doing the things he has planned for you to do. Whatever your need may be, church, let it be known as together we stand and sing.